The Work Lab podcast from Microsoft answers the questions that keep business leaders up at night. Like, how can I reinvent processes for the AI era, from customer service to sales to HR? How can I prepare for AI to fundamentally transform jobs, companies, industries, and the whole economy? Don't panic. Tune in. Each episode of Work Lab brings you the top experts, hard data, and actionable insights to help you future-proof your organization. Check out Work Lab, that's W-O-R-K-L-A-B, no spaces, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Caixin Sinica Business Brief, brought to you by SubChina. Each week, we bring you a roundup from the world of business in China from Caixin, China's authority on business and financial news, as well as interviews with Caixin Global reporters and editors. I'm Kaiser Guo from the Sinica podcast. It has been a full week of who has been naughty and who's been nice in China's world of business. We have stories of China's naughty businessmen accused of multi-billion dollar frauds, and TikTok has published its naughty list of deleted videos. But on the nice side, things are looking up for some Chinese tech firms who have seen their value soar over the last week, and the People's Bank of China is being very nice to finance companies, giving them more time to comply with new rules. With all the top news delivered in the nicest possible way and only a hint of naughty glint in my voice, here is what has been happening in China this week. TikTok revealed it had deleted nearly 50 million videos from its platform in the second half of last year as the internationally popular Chinese-owned short video app faces increasing scrutiny from overseas authorities. The ByteDance Limited unit's latest transparency report comes after the app was banned in India last month, and U.S. President Donald Trump said he was considering a similar measure. The two countries are the platform's largest markets. According to the report, the over 49 million deleted videos fell into a total of nine categories, including violent and graphic content, hate speech, and adult nudity and sexual activities. The deleted videos accounted for less than 1% of the total number of clips posted to the platform during the period. China's central bank has announced it may delay new asset management rules for covering the $12.9 trillion industry. The People's Bank of China is discussing extending a grace period for financial institutions to comply with sweeping new asset management rules that were issued in 2018 and set to take effect in December 2020, officials said Friday at a press conference. Considering the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, some experts suggested extending the transition period for another year or longer. Whether the delay lasts 1, 2, or 3 years, the key is for financial institutions to transform their businesses, Zhou Xuedong, director of the General Executive Office of the People's Bank of China, said. Zhou added, "Going back to rampant off-balance sheet business, speculating with funds, and creating financial chaos would be unacceptable." China said samples of imported shrimp have tested positive for the coronavirus, raising questions again over whether the pathogen can spread through food or frozen products, Bloomberg reported. The inside and outside of shrimp packaging tested positive for the virus, China's General Administration of Customs said. The samples were from three Ecuadorian plants, and imports from those processors will be halted, it said. The test result doesn't mean the virus is contagious, but reflects the loopholes in companies' food safety regulations, said Bi Kexin, director of the Food Import and Export Safety Bureau in the Customs Department. Current evidence suggests that it's extremely unlikely the virus can be transmitted through food, according to Gorjan Nikolic, Associate Director of Seafood at Rabobank. The former chairman of Kangmei Pharmaceutical Company Limited
was taken into police custody after he was suspected of being responsible for the drug maker's financial fraud. Ma is suspected of illegal disclosure of information and failure to disclose important information, Kangmei said Thursday night in a statement. Kangmei, one of the country's biggest listed drug makers, was accused of financial reporting fraud involving 88.6 billion yuan, approximately $12.6 billion, of overstatements between 2016 and 2018. It was fined 600,000 yuan in May by top securities regulators for inflating revenues and fabricating bank deposits. Regulators found that the company used fake bank deposit slips to inflate cash reserves, forged documents for non-existent business activities, and transferred company funds to related parties to trade in its own stock. A Chinese tech company, Quantum C-Tech, saw its value soar more than tenfold Thursday on its trading debut amid a stock market buying frenzy that has led to surges in trading volumes and margin debt while overwhelming trading platforms. Quantum C-Tech is among a number of new listings benefiting from China's recent market boom. Last week, medical equipment manufacturer Tinavi Medical Technologies Company rose 614% in first-day trading, followed by a 438% jump for Geovis Technology Company, a mapping service provider, on its debut also last week. Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi Chuxing is partnering with the central bank to explore the application of a digital currency in its smart transport platform. Didi joined a list of companies and banks to test the digital yuan being developed by the People's Bank of China in real-life scenarios. The new electronic medium of exchange is known as Digital Currency Electronic Payment. In April, the central bank confirmed that some state-owned banks are conducting internal trials of the digital currency in four cities and hypothetical use for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Chinese gaming giant Tencent has hit a new milestone with its hugely popular Battle Royale title, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, better known to anyone under 40 as PUBG Mobile, doubling its lifetime revenue to more than $3 billion in just over 7 months. The landmark sales figure also includes the revenue derived from Game for Peace, the Chinese version of PUBG Mobile, according to a report by research firm Sensor Tower. In 2020 alone, PUBG Mobile and Game for Peace have earned revenue of $1.3 billion, with March seeing record monthly revenue of $270 million when the COVID-19 pandemic led to lockdowns globally, the report said. Let's turn now to Doug Young, managing editor of Caixin Global, for his story of the week. Hey, Doug, what you got for us?
Hi, Kaiser. This story that I'm picking out this week is a fun story. It's got a lot of drama involved to it, and so I thought it'd be fun for our listeners to have a listen at this. It all revolves around this story called Dangdang, which is one of China's oldest e-commerce companies. It's not exactly a big name these days because it's sort of been taken over or overtaken by Alibaba and JD and more recently Pinduoduo. But the story behind this one isn't really about e-commerce at all, but it's about a really messy divorce that's been going on between the company's co-founders, a guy named Li Guoqing and then his wife or former wife. We're not really sure if they've gotten divorced, but her name is Peggy Yu. This is, like I say, it's quite an old company, and I guess the couple had founded Dangdang together. They had been together as a couple for more than 20 years, and things started, I guess, coming unglued like last year. You know, it's sad to see this kind of thing happen, but, you know, it does. They'd been through a lot, but then it just started turning into like this really nasty edition of Divorce Court. That's the TV show, the U.S. TV show. They were sniping at each other all over the internet, and then there's been this ongoing battle for control of the company. At one point, Peggy, the wife, was saying she owned 70%. through some sort of agreement, and he was denying that. And again, they were doing this all very publicly on social media. And things sort of culminated back in April when the husband, Li Guoqing, got together a little posse of Dangdang people, because he was sort of officially kicked out of the company and she was running the shots, and bought in his little posse and basically took the company chops or the company seals with them and left. And for our listeners who don't know, these chops or the seals, they're the stamp that is sort of the official thing. It's the equivalent of a company signature. And so whoever has this, you know, can sign off on any company documents. And it's also required to do anything like transferring ownership or anything like that. So he walked out with these. And of course, now the company, you know, Peggy Yu, the wife, can't do anything. And then things came to another head just this past week or so. Apparently, the guy again showed up with his little posse, this time apparently a group of men all dressed in black. It sounded very dramatic. And they burst into the company offices like quite early in the morning, around 7, 8 in the morning, and raided a bunch of locked cabinets and took more documents. And later that day, the police actually took him in for questioning. And our Caixin reporter apparently went to the local police office and saw that Peggy Yu and her group were there as well. And this is all still being decided, but it's been very colorful and it's all over the place in Chinese social media.
Okay, so it has plenty of lowbrow entertainment value if you go in for this sort of thing. But as you said, Dangdang is no longer a major e-commerce player. It's been passed, you know, by not just Alibaba and JD, also now recently by Pinduoduo. So what is it about this story that makes it newsworthy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is similar to my last podcast or last Seneca briefing. It has a certain sentimental value for me. But, it also just shows what happens to these companies. They go on existing. Like I said at the outset, Dangdang really was being talked up as like the Amazon of China. They were much earlier than Alibaba, or their history goes back to the 90s, I believe. And they were doing e-commerce much earlier than Alibaba, obviously much earlier than JD. And they even had a book-selling model. So they looked a lot like Amazon, and they seemed to be going places. They did an IPO in the U.S. in 2010, I think it was. But then, they just got left behind. They ended up delisting in 2016. You know, and it really, I guess, goes to show how quickly things change on China's internet. And, you're only as good as what you did tomorrow, if you're yesterday's news, which is what these guys were. You end up becoming this kind of a social media soap opera when your former washed up founders end up sniping at each other over divorce. I'm sure we see this. I'm sure we see it in the West too. You see things like MySpace that were big in the day, and whatever happened to. And this is an interesting story, but it has a bit of a second life as well with this whole divorce drama.
Thanks, Doug. And how do you see all of this playing out for Dangdang?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's, I guess, another good point to raise here is that, this is sort of throwing a spotlight on this whole business of these really quirky Chinese characteristics, most notably the chop here, because it's like the person who holds the chop essentially, holds power over the company. And it seems like it's quite a messy business, either getting the chop canceled or going to court to get it back or anything like that. It's really unlike anything I've seen in the West. So to answer your question, I assume the husband and wife each will probably end up with about 50% of the company. Who actually runs the company, they'll probably have to reach some sort of an agreement. And at the end of the day, people might be saying, who cares? Because it could be it's already pretty much of a bit player, but, you know, by the time all this plays out, maybe they'll sell the company, which they actually tried to do before anyhow, and that fell through. So maybe they'll be able to find another buyer.
Well, I look forward to reading the pitch for your screenplay because, you know, this could be the next HBO hit after Succession.
Okay, thanks, Kaiser.
I'll see you next time, man. And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. The Caixin Seneca Business Brief is produced by Kaiser Guo and Nandini Venkata, with stories from the staff of Caixin Global. Special thanks to Li Xin and Marcus Ryder of Caixin Global. Thanks to Wu Fei and Spring and Autumn for the music. Be sure to check out the other shows in the Seneca Network on SubChina. And for daily news and views, make sure to subscribe to SubChina Access for our daily newsletter. Find us at subchina.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care.